Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Linda. Thank you to the Tijuana Mission Team for that excellent children's message. Thank you, Kirk, for the readings. Thank you all for showing up. I don't know. How many of you guys remember to wear Hawaiian shirts? Let's see a show of hands. Excellent. We got a few. Excellent. I didn't forget. Mine's in my office. I'll get there in a minute. It'll be fun. Come show up for late service. You'll see me in a Hawaiian shirt with turtles on it. I love it. Anyway, but we're all in these beach outfits here, but I want you guys to imagine for me here for a minute if you were stuck somewhere without a shore. Picture with me a desert. Now, it's not a cartoon wasteland or with a cactus or a cow skull or anything of that nature, but a real desert. Scorching heat. Cracked earth that stretches out endlessly. There's little shade, little life in the desert. In a place like that, survival hinges on one thing. It hinges on roots. Shallow roots, they just won't cut it in the desert. Only deep roots tapped into hidden streams sustain life. Here again, the first couple of verses of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree who is planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaf does not wither. All that he does prospers. Now that's what we want, isn't it? Strength, roots, faithfulness, fruitfulness, flourishing. But Psalm 1, it doesn't show the tree, it shows us the alternative. It shows us two different paths, two pictures, a thriving tree or lifeless chaff. And here's the hard truth, we are not naturally the tree. We are often chaff, spiritually dry, weightless, and scattered. The psalm continues on. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Here's the deeper danger that we all succumb to. The desert, it doesn't just wear us down. It doesn't just make us weak. It ultimately kills. Silently, when you don't wake up one day and say that I'm spiritually dead, you and I, we drift. We drift one skip prayer, one missed worship, one compromise at a time. And all the while, Satan, he whispers to us, you're fine, you're just busy. But your soul, it ends up withering. Our hearts grow numb, sin ends up feeling normal, God feels distant and far away. We call it a rough patch, but the truth is that we're dying. And if nothing interrupts this drift, spiritual death hardens into this eternal separation from God. It's not just a dry spell. It's a warning. Apart from Christ, you are not surviving. You are perishing. We don't need a pick-me-up. We need resurrection. This is the human condition without Christ. Not a bad day, but a death sentence. Paul puts it this way. He says that you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Chaff, it has no root, it has no life to it, no weight. It is blown away, then burned. The desert that we live in, it's not a neutral ground, it's a battleground that we encounter. When we disconnect from Jesus, relying on our own strength or neglecting his word, we just don't survive. We die. Slowly, maybe comfortably, but we end up dying. And you and I, we can't fix it on our own. We can't dig deep enough to find water. You can't bear fruit in a desert by sheer willpower. Every effort that we have is shifting sand. And all we are by ourselves is this worthless, dry chaff, which is fuel for the fire. Put it another way, the desert always ends up winning unless someone comes and saves us. Psalm 1, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus, the righteous one who stepped into the desert of our lives and brings life. He's the blessed man. He delights in the word perfectly. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. He bears fruit in every season, and all that he does, he prospers. And here's the miracle. By faith, you and I are grafted into him, into this tree of life. Jesus puts it this way in John's gospel. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Put another way, we don't remain in Christ by trying harder. We abide by receiving again and again and again. Put another way, we are not self-sufficient. We're not in charge of our own lives, but we are joined to the one who is. His life flows outward into yours. His strength becomes yours. His righteousness becomes yours. And Jesus doesn't just graft you in and then walk away. No, he sustains you daily, tangibly. In baptism, he joined you to his death and his resurrection. Not just a ceremony. It's when your dry, lifeless branch was grafted into the living tree. Paul puts it this way. We were therefore buried with him by baptism into death. In other words, his life became yours. And that connection still holds because he holds you. He nourishes you. In his word, he speaks life into the dryness. And in his supper, he feeds you with his body and blood, not as a symbol, but a real, tangible gift. And these free gifts he gives, they aren't just optional extras. They are our lifeline in the desert. Within the hour, we'll come forward for communion and hear the words, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood. The words from Jesus himself. When you come up to the altar, Jesus, he doesn't just remind you of his grace. He gives you his grace. He gives it freely as a piece of himself, which then in turn becomes a part of you. Through it, he strengthens, forgives, and renews. Now, this is different from anything else in the world because the world, it says something different. It says, look inward, project an image, stay busy. But looking inward, it exhausts you because we're not the source of life. Projecting an image might impress for a time, but it leaves you unseen and unrooted in what's real. Busyness, it can distract, but it does not save. Distraction is not connection. And beneath it all, we're not just distracted. We end up becoming deceived. Comfort becomes addiction. Control, it becomes anxiety. Approval, it becomes a slavery. And Satan's strategy to keep us busy, keep us numb, and content with this surface-level survival, just alive enough to feel okay, but just lost enough to never cry out for help. So where do we turn in this desert? Well, we look to Jesus because he offers more. Not just escape from the desert, but a life through it. Abiding in him, it isn't a task either. It is where our souls find rest. And if you're out there feeling dry or anything of that nature, just remember you're not alone because we are all branches of the same tree. The church, it nourishes us all together because we are fed by the same Savior, drawn by the same grace. Abiding, it's not a solo survival game. It's a shared life. We grow together. We worship together. We forgive each other. We bear fruit that blesses the world. The church is not isolated trees. It's one tree, altogether rooted in Christ. When one part wilts, others give support. When one rejoices, all rejoice. When one suffers, all suffer. Put away, your faith is personal, but it's not private. Christ joins you to himself and to his body. This is why we gather together in worship. This is why we serve, speak the truth, walk in grace. Isolation, it's deadly, and in Christ's community, there is life. This is because Jesus bore all your sins on his death on the cross. As St. Peter says, he himself bore all our sins in his body on the tree. We can forgive and love each other because he forgave and loved us. The cross of Christ becomes the very tree of life. This instrument of death that we adorn on our chests or in our worship spaces is paradoxically the source of all life. It changes the world that we live in. I love that image from the children's message about these crosses. That was this cold, lifeless lump of metal that got transformed into something beautiful. And that's what God does with each and every one of us. With Jesus in our lives, we live in an entirely different way. And the psalm, it actually alludes to this dramatic change. That phrase, streams of water, in the first couple of verses, it reverts not to a river like the Missouri or the Mississippi or whatever rivers are around here, Fox River, that's it. It refers to seasonal rivers. Now, we really don't get these in Illinois, but imagine if you only got rain every, like, one or two times in a year. These dry beds, which fill up when the rains come, transform barren land into a paradise. Now, I've never lived in a desert or anything of that nature. The closest I came when I was a kid. My parents took us on these 2 to 3 week long driving vacations, myself and my two sisters. I know, entertaining. Anyway, they would pile us up in this 2005 Honda Odyssey minivan. It had a DVD player. It was awesome. Every so often, my mom would yell back at us, "Hey, look out the window." We'd look out the window, see a mountain, then we'd go back to the screen. I don't know. But it was a blast. Now, why do I bring up this trip? Well, one time we went all the way to San Diego and back. And if you know a little bit about U.S. geography, there is a ton of desert in between there. And from traveling from San Diego up to around Colorado Springs, I remember just how barren it was. And once we got to Colorado, I remember getting out of the car, being able to walk on grass. I could smell green. I don't know how else to describe it. I bet you know what I mean if you ever felt that transition. That feeling from death to life, from barrenness to abundance, that is the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. He enters our desert and he brings the rain. His word, his sacraments, his grace, they are the first rains of a new creation. Put another way, where there is drought, he brings refreshment. Where there was death, he brings life. Here's the gospel. Jesus bore your sins, your death, and your dryness. And his resurrection, it is that river of life. Put another way, he took the curse that you may receive the blessing. He endured the desert so you inherit Eden. From the cross to the river of life, Christ is the tree who brings you and all the nations from the desert to Eden. He makes the desert bloom. Now lift your eyes to the horizon with me for a minute. Christ's life in Christ is not about this survival. It's about hope. Not mere existence, but a flourishing. Not just for you, but for the whole world. Revelation says it this way, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of all the nations." His life doesn't just stop with you. The gospel, it flows outward for the healing of all nations, from Emmanuel to the very ends of the earth. God bears fruit through his people, Christ nourishes you to nourish others. The world that we live in, it is still a desert, but through Christ in you, glimpses of Eden appear. And we've seen these glimpses even now. I saw it a couple weeks ago on this Tijuana mission trip. If you haven't been a part of it, I greatly encourage it. Helped change my life. Now, we will also see it in a couple of hours at our church picnic, where shared joy, food, and fellowship are not just fun, but they are signs of life together in Christ Jesus. They're all fruits of the same tree. They preview the restoration that is still to come. His resurrection isn't a fantasy. It is your future in Christ. No more desert, no more drought, no more curse. Just life, abundant, eternal in God's presence. No longer will there be anything accursed. And until that day, you are part of it. In every action of faith, every word of encouragement, every step of obedience that you take is not wasted. When you pray for others, serve with joy, speak the truth in love, you are a glimpse of Eden for a thirsty world. Christ in you is not just about surviving, but a flourishing. And while he supplies the fruit, you extend his reach. This is where your journey leads, not because you are a good tree, but because you're a part of the one who is. In Jesus, you are planted, nourished, and flourishing. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in seasons. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So abide in him. Even when the desert is dry and the rains delay, his grace flows. His life is yours. And one day you will stand by that river of life in God's garden forever. So when the desert blooms, it is only because of Jesus. But through him, you bloom too. Amen.